Black Art Cinema Podcast coming back at you.
Oh, yeah, we're back.
Hello.
Fletcher, joining me as always.
Me.
Mr. Joe Pesci Whitehead. And Hudson is with us tonight. Say what's up, Hudson.
Hello, hello. What's up, what's up? How are you?
We're good.
Mm-hmm. So, Joe Pesci Fletcher, how's it feel? How's it feel, Nick?
I'll be either Lester Diamond or Don Rickles. Hudson, you can be De Niro or whoever you choose to be out of the movie.
Well,
if anything, you're Woods.
Okay, I'll be Woods.
Because you're tall.
Yeah, yeah.
I got you on the body type.
You lanky.
Or what's the sheriff? Not the sheriff, but...
Oh, the county commissioner?
The county commissioner, yeah, yeah.
Could there be anything for Don further down the trough?
Yep.
Spoiler, if you don't get the references, we watch Casino. The 1995 three-hour epic from Martin Scorsese.
This was my first time ever watching it all.
In one sitting?
I remember JB asking you the other night when we mentioned it, but I neglected to pick up on your answer, so it was your first time watching it all.
I'd seen, like, parts. Like, Fletcher had shown me the execution, Pesci's execution.
Yeah. But, like, 20 years ago.
Yeah. And then, like, I've seen the whole, like, the guy putting his feet on the bar and calling De Niro's character a bunch of...
But you got to watch the beginning, the very beginning, the intro scene in its entirety, I'm assuming, yes.
It was all right.
Sorry, we didn't watch it together. Some of us watched it together. I've seen it a bunch of times, and I kind of watched it separately today to catch up, so that's why I'm asking Matt these questions. But I love that opening scene where, you know...
I just like the music in it for some reason with the orchestrals and the voices singing.
And if you're an astute-eyed viewer, which it's just the craft at the time... If your eye's quick, you can catch De Niro being replaced by the dummy in the...
When the car blows up.
That was really jarring to me because it was, like, very obvious. And it's like...
Back in the day, it might not have been, but nowadays, it's a little telling.
Still think if I watched this shit, like, 30 years ago, I think I would still that same effect. It was so... There was no smoothness to it, for me at least. And it's like, back then, you think they would have, like... If I'm seeing it now, somebody in the editing room should have seen that too. And like, well, can we like smooth that out a little bit, make it better?
I think the problem is they had no way of other than putting a dummy in there to make it look like anyone was in the car.
No, I'm not saying like I'm not poo-pooing the use of the dummy, but it was like whenever they were putting those two scenes of him in the car and then the dummy in the car, I don't know. It was like.
The car doesn't move, whatever. It just becomes a dummy miraculously in the shot, you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, I don't know. It was
the film jars a little more.
A little bit, I don't know. I did not like that part because I was like, you could have done something better. Made that a little smoother.
Would you have rather they just cut a shot to a completely different angle and then show the car blow up to fix it, in a sense?
Yeah. That would have been a perfectly fine thing to do instead of setting on the same shot that obviously changes.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That was a gripe number one.
Fair enough.
The only thing I can think, which I don't know, I don't know what the money was like on this movie or anything like that. If they were just that was one of those things that got shot last, and
I think it was just probably for whatever reason he didn't want to break that shot.
Yeah,
because you can tell. I mean, they have to cut the camera off, but they must have put that dummy in there quick because like none of the lighting changes, like from the daylight in the background. Probably just for shock value. Yeah. It's the only reason I could think they wouldn't have cut it, because I get what you're saying 100% why it is.
Yeah.
And to get around that, I just would have had him closing that door and keep De Niro in the shot and then just wide pan out to something, like from a different angle of the car or up above roof view and then blow it.
Yeah. I was not expecting that to be the opening. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the car blowing up?
Yeah, that was not something I expected at the beginning of a movie.
I guess maybe at the time, because you got to realize this is still like same year as Heat came out.
True. Yeah.
Before De Niro went down a... lesser than path on his acting choices, if you will.
Yeah.
I guess it would have been shocking to see De Niro blow up in the first 30 seconds of the movie.
Yeah.
Is all I can think. But I do like the opening, like credits and shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
For some reason, that's always been interesting to me with.
Him falling and shit.
Yeah, pulling the Mad Men before Mad Men.
True, yeah.
But I don't know, something about the music and stuff. And we were talking about it afterwards. This is a dialogue heavy film. I don't think it ever felt like a 3-hour movie.
No.
Even though, like, there's not a lot of action, but there are people getting fucked up and shit.
Yeah.
I was telling Whitehead, I was like, and I said, I'll bring it up on the podcast. And even as I told Whitehead, I was like, I'm totally riffing off someone. I can't remember who I heard describe this movie this way, like, years after I'd watched it, but they were 110% right. They're like, basically, this movie is just Paradise Lost with gangsters, but it worked. But I was like, it fucking works. It's a movie overall. Because they get the keys of the kingdom, and they're talking about that at the beginning. Like, we got to hand the keys to paradise. They even say paradise. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess in the terms of mob shit, they did have it set up for street guys as best possible. You're skimming a casino. You don't have to worry about getting pension unless it's by, like, a gaming commissioner or something. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, the feds could come in, but you're not on the streets. You're not fucking around with, you know, possibly getting shot in the back of the head or some shit, or pissing off another crew.
It, like, it integrates at so many levels, like, all their different scams and hustles that they do, from, you know, liquor in the bars to the food services in the cafeteria. Like a casino, you know, when you look at it, like, from that point of view, and they kind of get into the minutiae of it in the movie. But, yeah, it just, it services their needs as an organization from top down, and they had all that.
And it's a legit enterprise, too. Like,
he even has his own television show
later on.
Which was fucking ridiculous.
That was, you know.
I liked it.
And pissed off the old mob bosses back home.
Yeah, yeah.
Who all looked really gross.
Oh, dude, that was, like, real. The most accurate, probably, to real life when you watch, like, an A&E crime thing. Yeah. Probably the most accurate-looking mob bosses of all time.
Yeah, Remy just looked sick. I don't know. Remo looked like he felt bad the whole movie.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, he looked bad.
You
like,
know that
Rickles,
actor?
Rickles looked like a fucking spry 50-year-old compared to Remo.
And he was probably older than him at that time, even.
Probably.
Yeah.
The guy that plays Remo, you know what he always looked like to me? Do you remember it's funny, we were talking about it just a little earlier before we hit record. Do you remember the dumber bad cricket from A Bug's Life? That was played by, what's his face from Spin City, Hudson? That's big friends with George Clooney?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone thought
that
he was in the Batman movie. They thought he was the guy. They thought he was Penguin.
Yeah, yeah.
But they
looks so much. Richard.
You know exactly what I'm talking
about.
Remo looks like the dumb cricket, bad cricket from A Bug's Life, but a real person. And if we go back, I'll pull up a picture or something.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, that's 100% on Fletcher.
Yeah, you know the actor. He's a, but.
But he looks just like a real life version of the cricket from A Bug's Life that guy played, is what I was getting at.
Yeah.
And he did look like he was in pain the whole time and old.
Yeah.
He had a cane.
He did. He was just really, like, extra pale in every shot. And it was like, ugh, like, I'm sorry.
He had a big wide head, too.
Like, I'm sorry, Grandpa. Like,
I'm sorry, Mob Grandpa.
Okay. Another thing, another old man subject. I noticed they were like, it seemed like all those mobsters were geriatrics.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Nick had some young guys in his crew, but back home, everybody's, like, fucking 60.
The silver-haired crew.
Yeah, like those assassins at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
All old dudes.
Very effective. Like, they did some badass shit, but
and cold as fuck.
Yeah, it was just like, I don't know. It was just something weird.
He did say that.
I've read, and I don't know. If you've ever run across this, Fletcher, like, in some of the stuff you, or because I know you've into some true crime stuff, but I know I've read somewhere, like, about the mob, like, at various points in its history, that they've had, like, some serious problems, like, just from, like, an organizational standpoint, because they'll get so many of these guys. I guess it sort of parallels how healthcare got so good in the U.S., and, like, now we have, like, this huge elder population that needs taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
But the mob at various points has kind of gotten in that same way. Like, they've gotten so many old guys at the top that just won't die off. And, like, you know, the way it works is, you know, it's like a pyramid scheme. Like, you make money, and then you have to kick part of it up to so-and-so, and they have to kick part of it up to
pay
so-and-so.
Pay your respects.
Yeah. They have so many of these old guys up top sometimes that there's not enough money. You know, it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know if maybe that something in Pelagio's book was reflecting that. Like, you know, it could have been, because I know his books are pretty
detailed
when it comes to mob stuff. But I know I've read that somewhere, I don't know, a study of the mob. But that's been a problem that's happened before, is just they get so many old fucks at the top taking so much of the money that it,
the younger crowd,
eventually it comes to a head, and like there's either a split or a bunch of people get killed somehow.
It's
or,
the old,
you know,
trope of the king needs to step down,
the old king or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's time for someone new to rule or something, which, you know, that's kind of what basically happens in this, if you think about it.
Yeah, which I did not know this was based off true events.
And real quick, too, I know there was something weird, and it's like you're saying, like, I mean, the goal of organized crime, I think, essentially is to become legit to a sense.
Yeah.
and actually have like legitimate front making money, obviously.
If they could in a perfect world do that, I guess they would, yeah. But they never seem to get there.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
sometimes they do.
I know there was something weird, like in the book, in the true story thing I've seen about this. And I was actually bringing this up to someone that, me and you were going to watch it. And I was talking about this little factoid I'm about to go into. And they told me, that's fucking weird you mentioned that. I saw that on YouTube like the day before. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, like how when they keep saying back home? And it kept showing, like, back home years ago, like, in the thing, and I said, that's funny.
Yeah.
Because I always thought it was funny.
Well, the funniest one was when Nick says, like, I don't know, he spouts off a sentence, and then the whole sentence is, like, there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I can't remember what it was, like, what he said, but...
You don't want to talk in code?
No. Like, whenever they'd be, like...
Oh, back home years ago, and it says back home years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it would say that, but I just remember Nick says something in the beginning, and he says something really long, and then they have that.
That's
like,
what it was, back home years ago.
And it's just like, what?
The reason that is for some reason, okay, you know how they were delivering the suitcases to Kansas City?
Yeah.
Now, I can't remember if they were actually going to Kansas City in real life, but for some reason, when they were making the movie, and this is like you're talking about like it's a weird thing with like how big a mob gets, for some reason, some mob lawyers contacted the studio. And there was some weird legality thing. They couldn't actually say what family it was. So in the movie, they had to call it back home, but it was actually Chicago.
Yeah.
The Chicago mob. Mm-hmm. But they had, I guess, PR lawyers or whatever you want to call it. For some reason, they couldn't say that. And I don't know if that's because some people that were involved in the scheme were still alive in 95. Because the real casino was the Stardust Casino. There's no Tangiers ever or whatever it's called in casino. Yeah, wasn't it Tangiers?
And I noticed Nick's, because I looked at a... I googled the I guess the book, and because I wanted to see what how close they looked to each other, which then I realized like in real life that guy's name was not Nick, it was like something the aunt, something
and Anthony was, aunt something,
yeah, and I was like, well, where the fuck did they get Nick from? That
again, it's the same thing like why they could not say Chicago in the thing you're talking about, instead they always say back home years ago, and they'd always refer to it as back home. Now, again, like I said, I can't remember if the real-life guys were delivering the skim money to Kansas City, but for whatever reason, whoever initiated the scam was the real-life Chicago mob, and their lawyers got in touch with Universal Studios and threatened to sue, and they're like, we'll just never call it, say, Chicago in the whole movie. And they're like, perfect, because I guess...
I vaguely heard that story before, too.
Yeah, someone... Yeah. Maybe some underboss involved in the skim was still alive.
Or was it even that they had... Did they have some tacit, like... Like approval, like for this movie, and maybe that was out of respect, or was it? I don't know. Either way, someone requested that they not use Chicago's name, and it didn't get used.
And all I can think of is someone, because the movie ends in like 1980, and it's 95 the movie, so there theoretically could have been people that were still alive that were involved in the illegalities of.
I mean, Kansas City, I guess, does technically have a mob. You know, it has historically, you know, Cleveland, Kansas City. Chicago is the Midwest mob, I guess.
Yeah, that's like, and then Tulsa, and I don't know if LA's touched. Who knows? I'm sure we could look it up, but I'm lazy.
I've always been surprised how mobbed up Cleveland is, but
Kill the Irishman. Yeah. I was thinking about that movie the other day. But Whitehead, because you were the first one, how did you feel about the movie overall, I guess?
Overall.
For first viewing.
It wasn't what I thought it would be. I was expecting more of a thriller, but got a drama, which was fine. It was a good movie. It just, I don't know. Like, I wanted a little more action. I was expecting it more. Also, did not know it was based off true events, because it says at the very beginning of the movie, based on true events. And I turned to Fletcher. I was like, is that legit? I was like, are they lying?
It's pretty close to... I watched an A&E thing years ago about, like, the real... Like, one of those two-hour A&E Sunday things. It's pretty close. I changed some names. I can't remember... I think Ace Rothstein's real name was something Lucky instead of Ace. It's just, kind of gambling adjacent is his street nickname.
Lucky, yeah.
And I looked... Yeah, I saw a picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
I did not really look a lot like De Niro. But yeah. Some of the facial features, or not features, but the way he was like holding his mouth, I was like, I kind of look like De Niro's mouth.
I do think I've seen a picture of that guy, and he had like big flamboyant sunglasses on, like when back at the time.
It was his hair for me. Like, his hair was off, and I was like, ooh, De Niro had better hair.
That's one of those things, like if you ever see the real life Frank Lucas from, American Gangster, Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
I remember when that movie came out, my mom was like, ugh, because she saw the real him. Mm-hmm. She goes, Denzel's ass looks better than that guy's face. Because that man is the real Frank Lucas was not an attractive. He's no Denzel, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
No jawline on that man. Big jowy guy. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's just how it goes.
Yeah. But overall, it was a good movie.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
story. Like I said, I thought there would be a little more action. I was expecting more of a Goodfellas. Which, I mean, Goodfellas, I wouldn't consider that really an action movie either.
You expect just a little more killing throughout.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get you.
Mob shit, which we did get. There were some very brutal
killings along the way, just not as many per minute, I guess, is what you're trying to say for a 3-hour one.
Yeah.
I just like the dialogue pace of this because it's like I said to him and or I was saying it to Whitehead last night. One reason I've always enjoyed Casino and a lot of Scorsese movies, there's not necessarily a plot.
True.
It's just like the life and the times and events.
It's a slice of life.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like a slice of life thing.
I was waiting for you to.
But it is really just like they're not trying to get anything. They're not trying to change. They're not trying to. It's just this, and this. Like, okay, like that guy that shot up one of Remo's bars and they sent Nikki after him. He said, like, for 2 days they tortured him after they found him. There's like little micro movies in this movie. That could have been a whole movie itself.
It's true.
It's
like a lot of good little stories and information. You learn more about. I mean, again, it's a movie, so, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but. I feel like I every time I watch it, I learn a lot about the casino industry, and I mean, it's just it makes me. I never had any care for that, but it does make me sort of in a weird way long for, I guess, Las Vegas in the 70s that I'm ever going to get to go to.
But yeah, back to what he was saying, like little mini movies within the movie. Nikki's initial crew.
Oh yeah.
Whenever they've got that fucking box truck pushed up against that wall, I was like, oh shit!
Other robberies.
Like, I was like, that is slick as fuck. I could have watched a whole movie of just them doing jobs.
Just like cool, low-tech robberies, but like successful at every one. Yeah.
Like slick for 70s robberies. Yeah, like when they're knocking through that wall and they've got the insulation to stop the ball peen from making like any noise.
And Nikki was like, yeah, sometimes I like to just go out on the job with the boys and shit instead of making them do it all. And I was like, yeah, it's cool shit, dude.
When he's talking about Robin and he's turning the pictures over, the first time I ever watched this, I was like, I wish Pesci would have turned the camera. I wonder if he did as a flub. And sometimes I leave the water running. Talking about like the wet bandits from Home Alone.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the amount of tail that Pesci got in this?
Getting his dick sucked all in this movie.
Dude, yeah. I mean, there was two very prominent fucking. Uh-huh. Get on down there. The whole weird relationship with him and Ginger.
Yeah.
I did not like that.
It's strange.
And then like that last little bit whenever they're before they hook up.
Mm-hmm.
Them, like, raking their faces really close to each other. Yeah.
She was totally coming on to him.
And Fletcher, Fletcher can attest, there was several times during that scene where I was just like,
No, Nick. Matt was so disappointed.
I was talking to the TV, man.
Oh.
Dude, Matt was like, no, Nick, no.
God damn it. But I was also thinking, like, her, like, oh, he's a little goblin, dude. Don't do that.
I will say this. I just love the acting in the movie. Like I was saying, like, there's a million little stories that could be movies in this. I think one reason I like it, it's like Scorsese's just your buddy telling you this story, this magnificent opus, and he's just going through like, oh, and then one time they caught these guys cheating and they fucked up his hand, like, but it works because there's no plot to this movie. I cannot
because that is the weird thing about it. You could also do
same thing with Goodfellas.
You could do
I love it
3 more hours of that.
Yeah,
and probably or an hour and a half less. It would still be. I mean, that is the way how it works because it's just there is no plot. There's just little vignettes and sometimes it just goes from intense scene to intense scene to intense scene of really great acting by De Niro and other folks. And then there's just
I will point out Sharon Stone really knocked it out of the park in this because she's so attractive at the beginning, but such a vile, ugly person by the end of it. And she. Okay, like, when he catches her, when De Niro catches her on the phone, whispering at night to try and kill someone, that shit's almost anxiety-inducing when they are fucking, when they're yelling at each other for just a spat between a not-healthy couple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, like, he's like, you greedy fucking bitches, enough money left you 2 fucking days. Like, I remember, watching this kind of young, I was like, oh, shit. Marriage arguments are fucking intense.
At one point, I think she either leaves or he threw her out. I can't remember. I think he threw her out at this point. But he wakes up in bed, and she's just standing there in the dark with that fucking big-ass chinchilla coat.
Looking all sad.
And I was just thinking, like, oh, shit, is she about to pull a fucking pistol on him?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, like, is he thinking – did he think that in real life? Because I'd have had her killed.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Whitehead was like, dude, is he going to have her killed? Because she was getting too fucked up to begin with. And there is that first time, like you're saying, like, she's really throwing herself at Nikki. And, but he was being respectful and like, all right, you know.
Yeah, which, I mean, that part was fine. They even kissed a couple times in that scene, but it was just like
a respectful peck.
Like a formal fucking thing. But, ugh, the fucking, like, ah, fuck.
Oh, did you just over the mic?
In the tooth, yeah.
You okay?
Yeah, yeah, I'm fine. But no, whenever, just like, I don't know, I did not like that shit. I did not like watching it.
Well, also, too, you can tell when she's all breathing up on him, he's rubbing his dick. Like, that shoulder's moving. He was getting ready for that blowjob. When he's like, yeah. But I will say this. I do respect that even though they were not cool by that point in the story, when she's trying to have Pesci kill De Niro, he's like, shut the fuck up. I've known that guy 35 years. I'm going to fucking kill him for you. Get the fuck out of here. Like, I like how they still had, like, a weird camaraderie even after Pesci told his ass off in the desert.
Yeah.
And called him some very vile things in the desert.
Yeah, they had a lot of really funny names for De Niro's character.
Yeah.
That was real funny getting to hear.
I forget what he called him. Who the fuck are you with your cigarette holder? I can't. Who'd he call him? Looking like whatever. Some famous person.
Greta Garbo. Not Greta Garbo, but
John Barrymore.
John Barrymore, yeah.
He's like, going on TV looking like fucking John Barrymore. I do know that scene in the desert, like, there was a scripted part, but apparently Scorsese was like, hey, just cover these, like, bullet points, and you two fucking ad-lib it. Y'all have known each other for, like, as long as these guys have known each other in the story. So that's why that shot, or like, when they're out there in the desert, and he's like, I told him, all I said to Andy was, you had a lot of heat on you, and it'd be cool if you left town for just a bit on a vacation. And he's like, hold up. You know, and he's like, you went over my head. The reason they kept cutting that from, like, De Niro looking at Pesci over De Niro's shoulder and that is because I guess they did it 4 or 5 times. Mm. But they cut it together nice with the audio.
Yeah.
Because there are times you can hear, like, De Niro speaking, but it's probably from another take. Mm-hmm. But again, that was always an intense scene because, like he said, when Nikki told me, meet me in the desert, which he's like, I don't like meeting in the desert anyway, but when he said a couple hundred yards down the road, he's like, I gave myself 50-50 coming back from that meeting.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what the instrumental they used for the whole movie is. I swear to God, didn't y'all do it in Strings, Hudson, back in the day?
We might have. I wasn't paying attention to
that. Like when he's driving out to the desert.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I just like that song is all I was going to get at. They play it through the movie a little bit.
I guess I just didn't really notice.
And
so I didn't get sucked in. Like, it was a good movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel you.
I don't know. I just thought there was going to be a little bit. I don't know. Thought it'd be a little
Matt
bit
wanted John McTiernan's Casino. With Arnold,
I mean,
and
kind of not. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, but you thought it'd be
a little more vicious.
Vicious. There'd be X is the point, and we're gonna kill a lot of people towards getting to X.
Because I mean,
but this was just a rambling sort of tale where a lot of people.
I mean,
people do get clipped.
Nick did a bunch of fucked up shit and killed a bunch of people. Yeah. Like, I want to see it.
Also, too. I mean, I think Heat or not Heat, a Casino ahead of its time.
True.
Police killing people without having guns.
That
dude, the sandwich.
That was a very obvious, a goddamn sandwich. Like,
yeah,
that's
but it was
that,
funny.
That's a shit cop.
I loved how they cut back to when he's getting lit up. They zoom in on the big sandwich, and I did like the cops. Gun, he's got a fucking hero sandwich. I'm going to do paperwork for 3 months, you this piece of shit. They did do a fake throwdown gun. And then everyone to get stoned and shoot up the cops' house.
That was really funny.
And I always thought it was fucking crazy was they didn't even drive by. They literally were just standing outside that car with, like, Uzis and shotguns just unloading into that house. I was like, man, imagine being, in the basement or something, if that house even had a basement. You'd be safe, but then your house is getting lit the fuck up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, it would not be a cool time. I'd want to leave.
I love the, changing subject, but just adding in because I was thinking about other things I love about this. They're just random one-offs. As more time passes, I love the cars more and more.
Oh, absolutely,
they're just beautiful. Like even his pink Cadillac at the beginning, which I used to think that's kind of like, I mean, and don't get me wrong, it's still a pink Cadillac, but I don't know, just something about all those cars. They're cool.
Yeah, I guess we should talk about Whitehead. Sometimes I like De Niro suits.
Sometimes
I don't.
Yeah.
I throughout watching the movie, I captured the, I guess the patterns of how he wore his suits.
And several costume changes through this to be noted.
Yeah, he had a lot of really nice suits. Some of them looked fucking bad. I'm just going to say it. I horrible colors. And even Pesci brings it up, like, you're in your house wearing a fucking pink robe and shit. Like,
he did look comfortable as hell in his crib.
I would have the same robe, probably not in pink. I was
thinking he had a blue one, too.
I was thinking more like a white or a silver. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. Not pink, though. But, like, it was always, and it, I don't know, the way he would, like, pair the colors of his suits were just weird to me.
It's part of that era, too, though. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, still, though.
I know what you mean.
Still, because it was always the tie and the shirt were always the same color. And then sometimes it would be, like, the tie, the shirt, and the pants were the same color, but the jacket wouldn't be. But then sometimes the jacket and the pants would match.
Mm-hmm.
Something about the fucking necktie being the same color as the shirt, I was like, this is fucking
what
weird.
Was it? There was one I pointed out where it's like...
There's a gray on red one he wears that looks really fucking cool.
Mm.
That one, there was one time I pointed out to you, I said he looked like a Green Andes mint.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
And then you said you wanted the sparkly one he wore. It was like a sparkly navy one he wore when he first started doing the TV show.
The TV show ones, I remember, they're some of the most.
He had a little sparkle on that navy one. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
There was the bronze, what I called him the, I was going to say something, I called him bronze guy, but I meant to say he looked like Troy's accountant because they're in the bronze. I don't know why I was trying to make a bronze age joke last time, but I didn't have the balls to pull it off. And then I said there's one where he looked like the child of light, De Niro, because he's in like a yellow one. But again, this is considered, and at the time when it came out, a lot of people were like, that one isn't really that good of a movie. Like, even, did David Spade do Weekend Update?
For a little bit, yeah, I think so.
I think he was doing it in 95, and when, you know, like, they do, like, news and shit on SNL, he opened his thing. He's like, Casino came out this weekend, because saw it already 5 years ago, and it's called Goodfellas, and just moved on, everyone laughed. But this is, like I said, some people at the time, and for a long time, which I didn't know that, this was like considered one of Scorsese's lesser than movies, and I was like,
"See, I never saw it that way."
I was like, "I still think it's great." I mean, I like Goodfellas better, but I was like, "This is like a 3-hour opus of like, I don't know."
I mean, the fact that it was based off true events was neat.
Yeah, like, interesting movie for 3 hours. Like, that's the first time, like, being 12 or 13, I watched a 3-hour movie and was like, "Oh wow!"
Yeah.
And like you're saying, heavily dialogue, but just acting is great.
Oh yeah, everyone did a great. Even James Woods, his slime ball character, who I thought would have more of a presence in the movie,
and kind of got out scot free.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. Other than the beating,
because the interactions between him and the daughter,
that was funny,
real funny. Because at one point she's on the phone, but you can see Woods and her in the background, and he's like, it's like he's bucking up on her and shit.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh my God. Is he, like, I was just expecting him to rear back on her, and I was like, please.
And just hit that little girl up. Wait. Don't do that. Yeah. We got so mad that little girl sticking the tongue out at him.
That shit was adorable. But, like, I don't know. I just expected him to be in the movie more, have more speaking parts. I don't know.
Last thing I've got whatsoever on the movie is, I know years ago I saw a thing where Kevin Pollak, remember Green, the squeaky clean front man from Usual Suspects or whatever, he said he was on an interview thing, this was like 5 years ago, and someone asked about how was that, like, working with De Niro and shit. Of course, you did the Usual Suspects same year, but they were like, let's talk about Casino. And he said it was actually really funny because I got to do a lot of scenes with De Niro and Rickles, and he's like, everyone loved Rickles.
Yeah.
But De Niro told Rickles, like, hey, when I was a little boy growing up in the 40s and 50s, you were like the shit, you know? And, you know, Kevin Pollak was there, and Rickles was like, oh, thank you, Robert. And, like, Robert De Niro went off to do something, and, like, Rickles said, or Kevin Pollak said, Rickles just turned to him and was like, I've got him now. And just walked off. And
oh, my God.
And said for the rest of this movie, they'd all had several scenes together, and Rickles, especially with De Niro, and Pollak's like, I'd be off to the side just watching filming. De Niro, of course, has, like, business guys where he's got to make phone calls and they're resetting up and shit. They'd be like, all right, let's get ready to be on set, like, in 3 minutes. And he's like, no matter what, if De Niro walked in, like, 1 second late or 30 seconds late, Rickles unconscionably busted his balls for that entire movie. Like, oh, okay, I guess it's just the little people, De Niro. Just did his Rickles thing the entire movie.
That's hilarious.
Like, and he was like, oh, he loves me? I'm going to unconsciously break his balls. And De Niro's like, De Niro never got mad, but he was just like, oh, hey, Bobby, don't worry about us little people down here trying to make a fucking movie. That Rickles just was full Rickles.
Oh, that's fucking funny.
The entire thing. Good, but
I was also shocked that they that
you got sad when Rickles got that phone thrown at
him. Yeah, when Nikki beats his ass with the phone, I was like, oh no. Like, don't.
Not him. He was the innocent.
And then the part wherever he's like, he calls him, he's like, hey, you still got that gun? Bring it over. And then he shows up with that big old shotgun. I was like, oh my God, I love him.
I will say, too, I just love the way, like, lines are delivered in this movie because it's a serious moment, but I've always chuckled a little bit inside when you're talking about the dude having his feet on the table. And when it's like, De Niro's like, sure enough, an hour later, I got a phone call. And it's Nick in a bar or something like, hey, that guy you threw out, you know, he's with me. And he tells him what he did. And then Pesci's going off on that big country bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, you stinky, manure smelling shit heel motherfucker. Like, just the way he delivered that was funny as hell.
Yeah.
Calling him a shit kicking, manure smelling motherfucker, whatever he called him. Yeah. Just the way his.
Just going in on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, Matt. I will say this about this movie. Pesci proved the pen might be mightier than the sword.
Ooh, yeah.
Right? There's no sword, but he definitely fucked someone up with a pen.
Oh, yeah.
Viciously.
God, damn, that was pretty vicious. That was really early in the movie, too.
Yep. That was your introduction, Nikki.
And I was just like, ooh, we're going to get more of this crazy shit like this. And didn't. I mean, we did, but not as much. Mm-hmm. But that was vicious as fuck. And then he's like, who's this little girl?
Who, you hear that, Frankie? That guy sounded painfully fucked up, though.
Yeah,
and was totally crying.
I guess he got a few in the neck. I mean,
he fucking kicked him for a long time and stabbed him several times with that pen.
Yeah, but there's a lot of those stabs you don't see where he's
getting
them at, but you see the initial few up here, and it's just like, oh, shit, like, that's not going to kill you.
But have you seen, like, a nice big fountain pen, like a traditional fountain
that's
pen?
That's what it was a legit one.
Yeah.
He's just putting holes in this guy.
And they're sharp, too. Like,
shit.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I fucked with some legit fountain pens. I mean, he could fuck someone up, but you want to talk about the baseball bat scene death then, Matt? How fun that
very
was.
Well known.
Hear how weird and humanizing that was.
Yeah, that.
Leave him alone. He's still breathing, Frankie.
Crack.
Crack that skull.
Dude, yeah. Whenever, like, right before, like, he cracks his skull. And they, like, throw him out. I don't know, like, they move him or something, or the shot changes. I guess it's to show, like, you know, some time has passed.
Mm-hmm.
He looks real fucked up.
Like, oh, yeah.
So bloody. It's like, oh, my God.
Before they stripped him or whatever.
Like, yeah, whoever did that makeup work for him, like, that.
I turned to you and I go, they look like some rotten.com.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then whenever they throw Pesci in there and put that first layer of dirt on him. I mean, very obviously it was a.
Had to be an animatronic. I've never gotten a. I've looked before and could never find an answer, but I've just seen that's like, because it moves weird, like you said. I'm glad I'm not the only person who knows that.
It looks off too, like it almost doesn't look like it. Just kind of
the movement's
like
weird,
but then again,
his face is supposed to be
fucked up, covered in blood,
and dirt's hitting him, but he's breathing the dirt out.
That first layer of dirt. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh shit!
Those killings were the coldest one. Was that lawyer, that Teamster lawyer? That, by the way, I told Whitehead and I said I would mention it. That scares me more than anything, where you're not in the mob. You're just, like, connected to him as a Teamster. And it's when all the big bosses are having that meeting in the courthouse. And they're like, what about Stone? And everyone's like, he's solid. He's all right. Just like his old man. And someone's like, yeah, he's always been a fucking Marine. He won't talk. And that one guy's just like, man, why take a risk?
Remo.
Yeah, Remo's like, that's how I feel about it. And they gun that poor bastard down the back of the head walking his car.
Yeah, that was pretty badass.
And scary, though, because he's, like, in a parking lot coming out of a restaurant or something.
And if I'm a cop, I'm not thinking, oh, those two older men walking there. I'm not going to.
Oh, he's a lawyer or whatever. He worked for the Teamsters pension.
No, I'm talking about the assassins.
Oh, yeah.
Because they just kept walking.
Yeah, you know? Everyone just kept walking, clearly.
And he just casually just popped a few in him as he's walking past them. Like, if I was a cop, I'm not expecting Grandpa over there to be the trigger man.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, I guess, I don't know. If you can live that long as an assassin.
Those were some old-ass assassins. Oh, yeah. Fuck you when they kill those guys out in the desert. Just pop them right in the head.
Yeah.
And unload their revolvers into the hole and just drop them.
Yeah.
I was like, they did some killing. At the end there. But you got your wish, though. Sharon Stone OD'd in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. It was really funny. She's a... Like, how are you going to suck that bad?
She's a bad person, no doubt.
But it's like, bitch, dude, like.
Bitch, dude, I like that. Bitch, dude.
Just to think that that's a real person, like, I'm glad she died that way. Actually, no, I'm not. I wish she'd have went out worse.
I think there's an old Family Guy, like a one-off joke about her from that movie.
Probably. They have so many cutaways.
Just a tiny thing that adds nothing to this conversation.
Well, they did have James Woods.
Yeah, they did.
For a couple episodes. Yeah. Real James Woods and Quahog.
Yeah.
I remember Stewie talking about a tiny Sharon Stone beating up someone, because she does a lot of that. She just tries to beat on Robert De Niro, but it's a lot of that ineffectual sort of screaming woman beating, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, she got her ass dragged down the stairs by Pesci toward the end.
Yeah. She needed it.
But it's just like, lady, like, either suck it up or leave, or enjoy
the millions of dollars De Niro's giving
you. You are rich now. Like, you were nothing.
You were a hustler before De Niro found you in this movie.
Yeah.
I will say this, Pesci.
A prostitute with money.
Yeah. That's when he hurt her the worst, De Niro. Once a hooker bitch, always a hooker bitch.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. Watching Pesci die at 13, I was like, never get involved. I was like, note to self, never get involved in organized crime. Because that was a horrible way to die.
Or if you do,
know your space.
Kill everyone after like 10 years.
Yeah, but.
And then disappear.
House. You guys want to rate this one and get out of here?
Sorry,
we're at 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What would you guys rate it?
It's so strange. Like, this is almost not even on a rating scale for me, because this is such like a.
It's like reading the book.
Old pillar of my, you know. I mean, I'm going to give it 7.5, 8 out of 10 for me. It's always been a solid. It's a very comforting movie for me. I did my last. So I did my last rewatch of this probably in the fall. I knew I'd watched it fairly recently.
Oh, gotcha.
That's why. Because I have a weird relationship with some movies like this where, like, it's a cooking movie for me.
No, absolutely. It's a background one. Working or something, or maybe just fucking around on your phone.
And I was making it's always either like chili or spaghetti I'm making. I either want to watch Goodfellas or Casino, or I start one of The Godfathers. And I remember this last time around, I was cooking chili back in the fall. It was like a week before Thanksgiving. And I put this on. After I had cooked my chili, ate my chili, sat down and watched it. So it's like, weirdly, even though there's a lot of violence in this, it's a comfort movie for me. So that's why I rate it so high. I just always really liked it. Yeah.
What about you?
Well, real quick, just to touch on what you're saying. Mm-hmm. It's one that I've watched quite a few times. Probably not as many times as Goodfellas, but I'll put it this way. I know exactly the last time I watched this for last night. Mm-hmm. It was back in the summer. I was dog sitting.
Yeah.
And I needed to kill like a few hours so I could feed the dogs. And I was like, well, I got some emails to check, and I couldn't find anything on Tubi, and this was on Tubi.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hit play thinking, I'll watch like 45 minutes of it, check some emails. It starts off, and before I knew it, I fucked around my phone. I went and did some other things around my buddy's crib, and like I said, played on my computer. Before I knew it, I just looked up at the TV, and it's De Niro at the end talking about, and I could still make money for lots of folks back home, and why mess up a good thing? And I was like,
yeah. Oh,
I left it on the whole time.
Yeah.
Been caught, you know, in the earshot. But for me, I will give it a 9 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I really do like Goodfellas better. It's just, both are paced great, and especially this one being 3 fucking hours. It's really like 2 hours and 54 minutes with the credits or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like you're saying, it is a lot of dialogue, and I totally get where you're coming from. I think.
Which is fine. I mean, cause I can't really even put a number on it.
For me, it's a 9, because I will say this, Goodfellas, having Leota there with Pesci and De Niro and Paul Sorvino and all the side folks makes it a little funner watch for me.
Yeah, because Leota Rita does play like a good little brother to those two. Like just a little younger brother to those two.
They were a good trio.
Yeah.
RIP Ray Liotta. Yeah. So 9 out of 10 for me. Not a Goodfellas, but I feel like it's one of the I think it's one of the better Scorsese ones. I love it. I think it was a companion piece to Goodfellas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I said, I can't put a number on it because I don't want to do what I normally do and just be like, oh, 7 or 8 out of 10. There's,
I'm giving it.
I don't want to give it like
4 eyeball pops out of 5.
Yeah, I don't want to give it like fucking 6 or anything, because it was a good movie. It was really good.
You did say it didn't feel like 3 hours
at least. Yeah, and I've watched a few 3-hour movies. And
hey, we watched Hateful Eight. We were tired by the end of that recently.
Yeah, this one wasn't that bad because it was just good. It was engaging. Got me sucked in.
You did get quiet a few times where I was like, you're all right? And you're like, no, I'm just sucked.
Yeah, like I'm in, like I'm watching.
It's also a movie, too. And I know you said this is the first time you've seen it all the way through, so I'm assuming you've seen bits and pieces of it.
Like, I showed them the end.
Just scenes here and there.
Well, but it's also a movie, too. Like, if you get a chance to... It bears a rewatch, and you might rewatch it 3 or 4 more times and really start to like. I mean, that's what I think Fletcher and I are both saying here, from years of having seen this either on in the background when our parents were watching it, or like, it gets better sometimes. It's one of those movies that does get better, I think, kind of maybe.
Well, you might not like what I'm about to say. I don't know if I will rewatch it again.
You'd be surprised, though. You might be surprised. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, I know you're saying that. Like, I know you're saying that.
And I get
but
it.
You'll be surprised when Casino comes back into your life. You'll be surprised. I've owned
Goodfellas. Goodfellas is one of the first six DVDs I ever bought.
Yeah.
Even if I see Goodfellas like on Lifetime, there's been times I'll come right in the middle of it and be like, I'll leave it on the background. Fuck it.
Yeah, like, I could see myself going back and watching scenes from Casino. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know, if I had, like, a choice between this and Goodfellas, like, I hate to compare the two.
No, it's so I think it's absolutely warranted.
But I'm going to watch fucking Goodfellas.
No, that I agree with you
I've
on.
I've watched that movie several times.
But I've probably seen this, like, okay, I'm probably, like, I'm 75% of the way of catching up on Casino watches to equate my Goodfellas watches, Goodfellas being 100%. You get what I'm saying? Like, just a quarter less for Casino, But like you said, this is an investment. It's a 3-hour movie.
It's true. Yeah.
But like, you know what? It's a great fucking plane movie if you had a long ride.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
But yeah, do y'all want to get out of here, fellas?
I think so, yeah.
Or is anyone guy?
Craps.
Go shoot some craps?
Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll catch everyone later. Peace. Later.